Call me. I want y'all to start praying for your relationships. Don't think, you know, just, you know, your curves or your muscles or whatever, your smile is going to get it. You want God to hook you up. Can I get amen?
Amen.
What I was talking about is, and what I'm going to explain to this later, we start to get into neurobiology and we start to get into hormones and all this kind of stuff. It's not going to be complicated. It can be, but I'll make it very simple. But I want you to pray, start praying for you and for your mate and for your relationship life. Because sex, relationships, love, all that stuff, the devil uses that in a, well, one, it is a gift of God and it has spiritual implications and it's spiritual metaphor. It is a physical metaphor for a spiritual reality. It's not just something we do. God created it for a very specific reason. That we'll get into. But in addition to that, that you pray for yourself, that God would heal your body, that God would restore your purity, your virginity, and heal your mind, the stuff that's happened to you, stuff you've seen. And for all you who are watching pornography, those images will be in your head for a lifetime. They will impact your relationships for a lifetime. They will destroy your ability to have a marriage for a lifetime if God doesn't, if something doesn't happen. It's not automatic. I mean, trust me, what's happening, what the devil's doing to your mind and your heart and your physical brain is going to have impacts on your life for a lifetime unless something happens. And so I want to challenge you now to start praying for you, for your relationships, because you know, when you're living in the world we live in, we think we just do what we want, do whatever we want. There's consequences. It's like a little frog in the kettle. You put the frog in the water, you turn the water up, and you boil the water. The frog has no idea the water's 100 degrees because it happens so gradual. Next thing you know, he's dead. That's how it happens. So it's going to be, you know, in September when we get into that, we're going to do prayer first. But I want you to start praying now because, you know, we're in relationships all day, every day with somebody, and we're always in that life because we are created to have relationships. So you can't avoid it, but I want you to pray because it's not... You can't live consequence-free when you violate God's word. So I'll just leave it at that because it's a source of great pain for a lot of people. Amen? Amen. Let's see your Bibles tonight. Let's see your Bible. Say word! Okay. Before we do that, let me just ask a few questions. Anybody here from out of town? Yes. Who? The little girl? Hi, what is your name? Samantha? Samantha, is that your name? And how old are you? Nine. And where are you from? Ohio? ¿Habla español? Do you speak Spanish? Oh, I know you do. Is she with you? She's what? Your little coconut? Hi, little coconut. Is that her nickname? Just your little coconut. Okay. You live in Ohio. Where in Ohio? Wasion? That's what? Wasion? Okay. What do you want to be when you grow up?
A vet?
Oh. I got an animal story for you today. I have an animal story, okay? Yes. Oh, how you doing, sister-in-law from Lowell, Massachusetts? How old are y'all? How old are y'all? Hey! Now, those two little spring chickens sitting next to you, they're not in the 80s, are they? I played against a football team in Lowell, Massachusetts. He's got to tell her what I said. That's not what she said. You don't care. Well, God bless y'all. Hey, how did you, why you come to church at 7 o'clock at night? And not... Amen. Do you usually come to this service? At this service?
Yes, my wife and I.
Do you ever come to the other services?
No.
are you like night people? You like to hang? No. You like the young? You like to be around the young people?
No.
I gotta get a yes. I gotta get a yes. We love to hear the word. We have services all day. I was just wondering why you picked this service. We have them 8 in the morning, and I wonder why you picked this service.
Because we go to our own church at other times.
Oh, so you're playing hooky. You're slumming it over here with the, oh, man, I won't say anything. My lips are sealed, baby. Well, thank you very much for visiting us. Thank you very much. Yes. Where? Switzerland. Wow. And how many languages do you speak? Just two? We don't hardly speak one. You speak English and Swiss? Is it Swiss or French? Swiss, German. Swiss and German? Or is it the same thing? It's different. So that's two languages there. Then you speak English. A little bit. You know how much Swiss and German we all speak? Nada. Zero. Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? No? Welcome. Yes?
My family's here from Colorado.
Colorado. How y'all doing? I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Where in Colorado are you from?
Howard Springs.
Howard Springs?
Colorado Springs.
Oh, Colorado Springs. I've been there. Very good. And who's who? Who's who in the zoo here?
My daughter.
She looks just like you.
My grandson and my granddaughter.
What's up, grandson and granddaughter? How old are you? Hi. How old are you?
Good.
No, how old are you?
Oh, 13.
13? Mm-hmm. It's your first time here?
No.
No? How old are you? Your sister's a trip, ain't she? Mm-hmm. Okay, I like your little things here. Thank you. Thank you. Excuse me? Are you stationed there? Very good. Yokosuka, Japan. Ooh, I almost fell off the stage. 4 years, I've never fallen off the stage. Are you in the military there? How far away is that from the accident?
2 hours south.
So you're good? No radiation? Anybody else? Nobody? Yes. Who are they? Oh, you're from Mississippi. What's the? I'll be right there. What's the thing you got here? So, for who? You played softball this morning? Is that the uniform you wore this morning?
Okay.
I mean, I'm just making an observation. I'm just kind of asking. I'm sorry? You have 3 games. Oh, yeah. Well, what team? What, is that like? You're here from out of town. The San Diego Renegades. I don't understand. What is that? Oh, it's a travel team. A high school, college? You're in high school? What high school you go to? You went to Mount Carmel? How about you?
University City.
And you went to school in where? Mississippi. Did you go to high school here?
No.
Okay. You want me to leave you alone? It's up to me. Okay. Is that St. Mount Carmel? Okay. Okay. Well, God bless y'all. Yes. North Carolina. Where in North Carolina? Greensboro. What do y'all say in North Carolina? North Carolina? What's that? What is it? North Kakalaki? You know, no. Okay, North Kakalaki. Okay. Is this your first time here, North Kakalaki? First time in this church. Okay, we mess with people here. Who is up there? Oh, right here. Who? Yes. Portland, Oregon. Welcome. Is your first time? What are you doing down here? Just visiting some friends. Come on down the south to the south country. Very good. Yes. Switzerland and Spain. Welcome. Welcome. You got a Switzerland buddy right here. Can you say hello to him in Switzerland? How you say? Salut. 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 Is that you? Salut. You understand? Salut. 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 Yes. Way up there. Mexico City. ¿Cómo está usted? ¿Cómo se llama?
Josué.
Josué. Josué. Me llamo Miles. My name in Spanish is Miles. Don't hate. Don't hate. Anybody else? That's it? Yes, where are you from?
From Salem, Oregon.
Salem, Oregon.
Yeah.
Who?
Us here.
Us here, the four of y'all.
No, what do you? She's not.
Oh, she's not.
I am. My two friends, they just moved down here.
What do you do up there in Salem, Oregon?
I'm a special education teacher.
Special ed. Oh, very good. Did you grow up up there? Okay. You're a big boy, big fella.
I'm a Niner fan.
You're a Niner fan.
This is how we look.
This is how we look. Niner fans just... huh?
This is how we look up there.
That's how you look up there. Niner fans up there look like that. Okay. So if I move up there and become a Niner fan, I'm going to blow up. Okay, I got it. I got it. God bless you, man. Yes. Jasper, Indiana? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Welcome. You flew out here and drove? Say again? Oh, you're driving back. Oh, be careful. Who's driving back? Just you two? Oh, and the kids. Ooh. How old are the kids? Ooh, 11, 13. Are they going to drive back for 4 days in the car? God bless y'all. Okay, one more. Yes, way up in a white sweater. Yes. San Antonio, Texas. God bless you, San Antonio, Texas. Yes, yes.
Africa.
Africa, we're in Africa. Africa.
Benin.
Huh?
Benin.
Benin? What is that?
French.
Benin is French? In between Nigeria and West Africa. The country's called Benin? Huh. I never heard of Benin. That's on me. Okay. Let's see your Bibles. See your pen. Lesson plan. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 6. I get delirious at 7 o'clock. Daniel chapter 6. You said there's somebody in your row who's 89. I'm not going to ask who that is. Is anybody in here 90 or older than 89? Okay, anybody here younger than 9? Okay, so we got a 9 and 89. Okay. Oh, yes, how old? 7. Very good. Very good. Okay. Lord, thank you so much for your Bible. Thank you so much for blessing us, and we pray you encourage us today. And we just thank you for being so patient with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I have three objects in front of me. Can anyone tell me what this is? Excellent. How do you know it's an apple? Because it's red. Strawberries are red. What else tells you this? How do you know this is an apple? Shape, size. Is there any chance that there could be an orange inside of this thing? Are you 100% sure there's not an orange in here? And how can you be 100% sure? I'll cut it. I'll find out in a minute. What is this? Are you 100% sure this is an orange? This is not a trick question. What is this? Are you 100% sure? What chance from 0 to 100% that this could be an apple? Are you 100% sure this is 0% chance? This is what it is. Very good. So if I cut this open, this apple open, what am I going to get inside? An orange? Very good. You are correct. If I cut this open, what am I going to get inside? An orange? Very good. You are correct. If I cut this open, you're going to get a strawberry inside? Pear. These are nice and juicy too. The only way you can really know is because you have never, ever seen an apple on the outside and anything else but an apple on the inside. You've never seen an orange on the outside and nothing else but an orange on the inside. You've never seen a pear on the outside and anything else but a pear on the inside. This goes for everything else God made because God makes things with integrity. The same on the outside as on the inside. So why is it that when someone says they're a Christian, you cut them open, there's not a Christian on the inside? Ooh, because people have a choice whether to live with integrity like those fruit or not. Living with integrity is saying I'm going to be the same thing on the inside as on the outside. What I profess to be on the outside is what I'm going to be on the inside all the time, especially when you go through hard times. If there's one time you need to have integrity more than any time else is when you're going through hard times. Your feet need to be on a rock. You need to have a stable foundation all the time. So when hard times come, you can withstand the heat. You can withstand the blow, the disappointment, the surprise, the shock. And so what we're going to talk about today is how you can maintain your integrity through your trials. Now, we'll continue a series called Why Do Bad Things Happen? And we've been talking about why bad things happen for the last 5 weeks. From week number one, we saw that bad things come from man. God created the heavens and the earth good. He created man, he created the animals, he created the earth, the planets. And then he says, I'm done with my creation and everything is very good. Genesis 1:31. And then man came on the scene. He had created man and man decided to rebel against God and do his own thing. And man introduced evil into himself, into our life and into the world. People say, why is there so many people starving on the earth if God is so good? God is wondering the same thing. So I gave you all the food necessary. There's more food in this world, produced food, not even potentially produced, but food produced to feed everybody. The only reason people don't get it is because of man, not because of God. Man introduced evil. We saw the week after that a man named Job who was very wealthy, had 10 kids. He had a lot of ox, camels, sheep, servants, and the devil took it all except his wife. And Job worshiped God. He said, God gives, God takes it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I trust God. He's always right. There must be something I don't understand. Then we saw a story about a man named Paul, whose name was Saul. Saul persecuted Christians. He persecuted Christians. God struck him to the ground, took his eyesight for 3 days, and Paul said, Lord, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to serve me. And by the way, Paul, in serving me, you're going to suffer a whole lot. Paul said, I'm good with that, in so many words. Last week, we saw a story about Joseph. Everyone say Joseph. Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery. They didn't see him for 30 years. 30 years later, there's a famine on the whole world. Job and Joseph is over the food source for the whole world, and they come to him for food. And then Joseph realizes that God sent him to Egypt, where he got sold into, to save many people's lives. He realized, though it was painful, it was helpful. And so we've been looking at this thing about this topic about why bad things happen. And one thing we know for sure is that we're not always going to know why, but what we can know and what we can control is how we respond to our pain. Now, a bad thing is when something happens that we don't want. A bad thing is not necessarily bad or evil in of itself. It just happens to be something we don't want. For example, when you leave here, if you have to wait in traffic, that's not a bad thing. It just happens to be something you don't want. You can sit there and relax, enjoy your company, turn the radio or whatever, and just say, I'm just going to wait and be patient. No big deal. Or you can be, I want to get out of here. It's up to you. And so it's not whether the bad thing happens, it's how you respond. One thing you can control is how you respond to your pain. And so what we're going to talk today about is how to have integrity through your trial. And we're going to talk about a man named Daniel. Everyone say Daniel.
Daniel.
Say Daniel.
Daniel.
Very good. Daniel was a man in the Bible about whom nothing negative was ever said. Daniel was a righteous man. He was a holy man. He was a man who was faithful to God. Daniel was kidnapped from Judah, Jerusalem, kidnapped by Nebuchadnezzar, taken to Babylon. He served Nebuchadnezzar the king. He served Belshazzar. Then he served the Persian kings, Darius and Cyrus. In this story, he's serving a Persian king, Darius. Daniel is about 70 years old, and he'd been faithful since he was a little kid. He was kidnapped as a little kid. And he trusted God, and God promoted him in all the governments he was in because he was a godly man from a little kid. And he is going to be in Darius's kingdom, in his government, in the kingdom of Persia, the Medes and Persians. And Daniel's going to be the top three leaders in the country. You're going to have the king and three governors. And then the king's going to say, Daniel, you are better than my other two. I'm going to put you over all the kingdom. And then his counterparts, the other two governors, there was three, he was one of three. The other two get jealous, and they say, what we're going to do is we're going to try to get Daniel in trouble. But because Daniel has so much integrity, we can't catch him in a lie. We can't catch him not doing his job. So what we're going to do is make his religion, his faith in God, illegal. And we know that he will never deny his God. And if we can make his faith illegal, we can catch him breaking the law of man for being faithful to his God, and that's how we're going to get him. Watch what happens to Daniel and watch what he does. As a tangent, this Bible and our political correctness is on a collision course. You're going to have to choose between this Bible and being politically correct. You already have to make that choice about some issues in our society. So what you're seeing in Daniel, what you saw with Shadrach, Meshach, and the Bad Negro was the same thing. They don't say that at home, okay? you know what I'm saying? They made their religion illegal. Okay? So you're going to have to decide, am I going to follow God or am I going to follow man? Am I going to be politically correct or biblically correct? So let's read the story. Chapter 6, verse 1. It says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps. How many satraps? Say it again. Very good. And over these three governors, how many governors?
Three.
How many satraps? How many satraps per governor? It's like, man, I'm not doing math. Just tell me what it is, okay, fella? It's 40, okay? Let's keep reading. It says in verse 2, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. So each satrap was over about 40, each governor was over 40 satraps, and basically they made sure all these guys did their job and held them accountable. Basic man, basic leadership. Verse 3, Daniel distinguished himself above the other two governors and the satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. Everybody say excellent spirit.
Excellent spirit.
And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and the satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful and there was no error or fault found in him. Everyone say no error.
No error.
Say no fault.
No fault.
How many of you have stuff you used to do, sin, stuff you used to do that you do not do anymore? Very good. You ever wonder if you can get rid of all your sin? Now, you maybe say, no, we are sinners and we always have to sin. That may be true, but that doesn't mean you have to live that way. I went on a 40-day fast, two of them actually. And the first one I went on, someone said, why are you fasting 40 days? Are you trying to be like Jesus? I said, yeah. Exactly what I'm trying to do. You're not perfect. I'm trying. You should try to be perfect. Absolutely. The Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy. What does that mean? Is that you shouldn't settle for two curse words a day. You shouldn't settle for lusting after this person, lusting after this. You shouldn't settle for gossip. Don't settle for that. Say, no, I'm going to be above reproach. I'm going to shut my mouth when I want it. Words start to come out of your mouth that you shouldn't say. Oh, push them back. No, for real, you could be saying, oh yeah, guess what? What? Nothing. Nah, what were you gonna say? Nothing. You have a choice. You could say, well, okay. Or you could say, no. They can beg you all they want. You say, no, I'm not gonna say anything. You have a choice. Daniel was without fault. Does that mean he was sinless? No, but you know when they watched him, they couldn't catch him in anything. Couldn't catch him. When people start making stuff up about you, that's a good sign. It's a good sign they gotta make stuff up. Why can't they just get the real stuff? I had a lady come to me, she said, you, and she said, saying the stuff that I did. And I was like, is that all you know? That's good. I mean, I can't remember if it was true or not. I remember what it is, but I was teasing her going, there's so much more. I mean, it's like we got you. Hey, I'm a sinner. I'm trying to be perfect, but I'm not. But the point is you want to try to, you can actually, if you stop those things you raised your hand about a minute ago, why can't you keep going? You can. That's what Daniel was. Let's keep reading. Then these men, the governors and the satraps who didn't like Daniel, said, we shall not find any charge against Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. In other words, he's always going to do his job right. He's an honest guy. He has integrity. He's the same all the time. And then it says, the governors and the satraps, how many governors were there? How many governors?
Three.
How many satraps? Very good. Of the three governors, Daniel was one of them. Is that correct? So I'm going to read the next verses, a couple of verses. I want you to tell me, do you think Daniel was actually in this meeting? I haven't read it yet, but check it out. It says, verse 7, all the governors, there's three, right? All the governors of the kingdom and the administrators and satraps and counselors and advisors consulted together to establish a royal decree. They came to the king and said this. King, we were all together. We consulted. That whoever prays to any god or man in 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast in the den of lions. Do you think Daniel was in that meeting?
No.
Oh, no. King, we all got together. Huh, is that right? Yes, we all got together, and we think this is true. Daniel was not in that meeting. Danny boy was out somewhere doing something else. They lied. Why? Because Daniel prays to other people. He prays to Jehovah God. He don't pray to man. Hey. Verse 8. Now, O king, establish a decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed a written decree. Basically, in the law of the Medes and Persians, if the king signed a decree, it was law. He couldn't change it. He couldn't unsign it. It had to be carried out. The only way you can undo it is to sign another law to supersede it. So because the king signed a law and it will be done. Boom. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, knelt down and prayed three times a day and gave thanks to God as was his custom since his early days. Hey, Daniel, guess what, man? The king signed a decree that if anybody in the kingdom prays for 30 days to anybody but the king, they're going to get thrown in the lion's den. Daniel understands the law. He's the second in command. He goes, thanks for telling me that. Goes home, opens his windows. What's up, y'all? He's saying hi to all the guys who are spying on him. Watch this. Gets on his knees and say, dear God, thank you for this opportunity. I don't know why you mess with me in my old age, but I'll take it. You threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. You're going to throw me in the lion's den. I'm cool with that. Thank you that you trusted me all these years for this trial. And if I die, I'm good with it. I'm ready to come home. But if I don't, I'll do whatever you want. So I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you very much. And I'll see you in a couple hours. Amen. Bada boom, bada bing. Look in your notes. Establish bulletproof spiritual discipline. If you wait until trials come, you will be crushed. The chances of you being crushed are high. If you're going to live your life doing your thing, and then all of a sudden your life falls apart, and now you're going to go see God, now God's going to be there. But how are you going to find him? And the reason I say that is you haven't been talking to him before. What makes you think you're going to recognize his voice? What are you going to read in the Bible? How are you going to know how to do that? Who are you going to call up and get godly counsel from if all your friends are heathens? You should have heathen friends. But you need to have friends who can build you up spiritually. Where are you going to serve? What are you going to do about your finances? If you're not honoring God in your finances, how are you going to know how to do that? You need to have a foundation. That's what you do day in and day out. In Daniel chapter 1, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had different names. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were their Chaldean names. But when they and Daniel were kidnapped as young boys, teenagers, they were kidnapped from their homes and taken to Babylon, and they were being trained to be Nebuchadnezzar's flunkies. And they said, we don't want to eat your Chaldean food, drink your Chaldean water, read your Chaldean books. We want to fast to our God, and we will prove that if we fast to our God, we'll be better off than the guys you're training. That's exactly what happened in Daniel chapter 1. They were 10 times smarter. These guys were disciplined ever since they were a kid. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were told, if you don't bow to the idol, you are going to get thrown in the fire. They said, King, you don't understand. We have not been bowing to idols since we were kids. We ain't bowing. We talked about that a few months ago, Daniel chapter 3. They played the music. They turned the heat up in the fire seven times. They said, we ain't bowing, King. We ain't bowing because that's not what we do. We don't bow to idols. Now, I wonder how many of y'all bow to idols every day. You go to school, you bow. You go to work, you bow, and everything. I got to bow to my culture, bow to my culture. And when God said, what about me? You said, God, I'll get you on Sunday at 7 o'clock. You're like that fruit. You're not like that fruit. You're a Christian here right now. When you go outside, cut you open, you're someone different. Be consistent. When I was teaching Pop Warner football, I was teaching the kids how to get in a three-point stance, and they would get down like this, and they would lean on their fingers. And I would come and just hit their helmet, and they would fall on their face. I said, no, you got to be like this, especially the running backs. You got to be like this. I can hit that arm, and just it goes right, boom. Why? Because if you're like that, you can go right, you can go left, you can go back, you can go any way you want. But if you're leaning forward, you can only go one way. You got to have balance. So you're like this, and all of a sudden, something unexpected happens. Boom, I'm good. Boom, I'm good. Daniel, I pray three times a day. I don't care what you say. You can threaten me with lions. It don't matter. Let's keep reading. It says in verse 11, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God, and they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god within 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of Medes and Persians, which does not alter. That's right. And so they said before the king, that Daniel, everyone say that Daniel. That Daniel, who was one of the captives from Judah. Understand this. Daniel was top three leaders in the nation. Yes, he was a captive from Judah decades. He's like in his 70s. Decades earlier, they still have that label of him in their head. You are going to have people in your life that will never let you be what God called you to be. That's their problem. It's not what people call you. It's what you answer to. People call you stupid all day long. Don't answer. That's not my name. That ain't my name. Look what it says. Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, verse 13, he does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes petition three times a day to his own God. Verse 14, the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself. Why? He let himself get tricked. And he set his heart on delivering Daniel, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver Daniel. He said, how am I going to get Daniel out of this? The man approached the king and said, King, know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and the Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed. The king gave a command. They brought Daniel to cast him in the den of lions. And the king spoke to Daniel. And look what he said to Daniel. Daniel, I got to put you in the lions then. It's my bad. I got to do it. You know I got to do it. You know the law. I didn't know this was happening. They tricked me. They told me that you guys all voted on this. And look what it says. He says, but, verse 16, the last sentence, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. I wonder how many people in your life consider you someone who serves God continually. This apple is an apple continually. This orange to orange continually. This pair doesn't know nothing else but to be a pair. You need to say, Lord, I'm a Christian. I'm a Jesus follower day in and day out. I go to church, I'm following Jesus. I go to work, I go to play. I go to the park, I'm standing at the bus stop, I'm going to trolley, going to Padre game. It don't matter. My team loses, my team wins. I'm a Jesus follower. Are you a Jesus freak? Oh, most definitely. What are you a freak about? Or are you just a freak to be a freak? Jesus follower. And you know what he said? Daniel, I've seen your God do amazing things in your life. I believe the God I've seen work in your life can do that. I believe it. My wife and I, my family's moving. We just sold a house. And we had to find another place to live. And then we had to find a rental. It's a long story, but we were looking for all these places. And we said, you know what? We don't want any old place. We want a God thing. And we would see these places and go, nah, they were nice, but it wasn't a God thing. Some of you say, God did that. And he did it. Darius saw God do that in Daniel's life over and over. And he says, the God that you serve, I'm sure he can protect you from the lions. Ooh. Verse 17, a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, the king sealed the stone. Verse 18, the king went to his palace, spent the night fasting. No musicians were brought to him to make him feel better, and his sleep went from him. The king arose early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den of lions, he cried out with a lamenting voice, Daniel, Daniel. The king said to Daniel, servant of the living God, whom you serve continually, has he been able to deliver you from the mouth of the lions? Daniel's in the den. I love this. He's in the den. He's going, hey, kitty, kitty, kitty. Hey, kitty, just go to sleep, kitty, kitty, kitty. Hey, kitty, kitty, we're going to sleep here. Now, here's the deal, kitty, kitty. Here's the deal. If you let me live, I promise you, if I get out of here, I'm going to send you a whole bunch of people you can eat up. Okay, so just be all kitty. Tell your boys everything's good. Y'all know that animals know friendly people. Y'all know that? How many of you have ever seen the video of the guy who raised the lion and he let the lion out into the wild and he came back and they met in the wild? Anybody see that? How many of you have not seen it? Okay, we're going to show it here on Sunday. We did a couple years ago. It is a trip. These two guys raised this baby lion. The lion grew up. They let it out into the wild. It became wild. It was killing animals and stuff. And they went out into the wild to meet it. And they called it. And it came to them and jumped up with his paws here and rubbed his face all over the guy. Oh, you tear up. And the lion's wife was with him. He brought his woman with him, and the other lions walk around and go, I guess y'all cool. I ain't going to bite you. If my man ain't biting you, I ain't going to bite you. How many of y'all saw that? I don't know if you were crying. I was crying. I cried. I watch it all the time. Just Google lion something, you know, something like that. Ryan reuniting or something like that. You'll see, there's another guy. I don't know if it's the same guy. I don't know if it's the same story. But it's another guy where like five or six lions come at him. And they're going, ooh, they're roaring, ooh, ooh. And they're all surrounding him and they're all jumping on him. And they lay in the ground and they're playing with this dude. I don't get it. But how many of y'all would love to sleep with a lion if you knew the lion wouldn't bite you? Yeah, how many of y'all, ain't no way I ain't going down there. There was another story about a guy who raised a gorilla. He had to be separated from the gorilla for like 10 years or some long time. He comes back, and he calls the gorilla. It's a big cage, enclosure. The gorilla runs across the enclosure to the bars where his old trainer was, reaches through the bar and grabs, hugs him, and she has a baby, a newborn baby, and puts the baby to the cage. Come on. Come on. You the bomb God. Come on now. Here, kitty, 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 kitty. Kitty, kitty. Like I said, just go to sleep, be a good cat, and I'll feed you in the morning, okay? Daniel, Daniel, servant of the Most High. Oh, kitty, hold on. Just stay right there. I got to read the Bible. Okay. Daniel said, O king, live forever. Verse 22, my God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Number two. Maintain your integrity before man and God. In other words, don't let your trial, your problems, give you an excuse to sin. Man, I had a rough day. I'm going to go get drunk. I deserve it. I'm going to go get me a woman. I'm going to go get me a man. I'm gonna go get me a man. But you think, you know, I deserve, I'm gonna curse you out. I'm gonna flip you off. I deserve it. You wronged me. So now I'm gonna wrong you back. No. That doesn't give you an excuse. Daniel was consistent. Day in and day out. Someone wrongs you. Oh, shut your mouth. Pray for them. You know how fun it is to love your enemies? Oh, it's so fun because they can't stand it. Hey, I want to pray for you. Why? Because I want God to bless you. Come in, let me pray for you. I know you can't stand me, but I love you. I want to pray for you. I want to bless you. Do y'all remember the night the guy was smoking weed right here? Oh, how many? Okay, there was a day where he was right. You were the girls, you were the woman, stood up and said, he's smoking a joint right there. No lie, Sunday night. How many of y'all were here? Okay, y'all remember, this is true. He lit up. See, y'all didn't believe it until y'all raised their hand. So I'm making this up. This guy lighting up a stogie right here. Just, and I remember you went, she went, that's wrong. He's smoking weed. Like, I just need to tell someone. It's funny, your face is like, somebody's got to say something. Nobody was saying anything. This whole, is your first time here? Oh, you got baptized, girlfriend. God had you sit next to him, and everybody in this section was like, don't say anything, just let it flow. Woo, praise the Lord. And she was like, he's smoking weed, he's smoking weed. I don't know what made me think of that other than I'm delirious right now. Number three in your notes. Trust God. Trust that God will take vengeance on your enemies. People will do bad things to you. People will lie about you. People will lie to you. People will steal from you. They will falsely accuse you. It's going to happen. God will deal with them. Doesn't mean you don't call the cops. Doesn't mean you don't say something to them. It doesn't mean you don't confront them. Always in love. But God will deal with them. And you pray that God will deal with them. Now, be careful what you pray, because you pray, what you pray for them is going to come back to you. And so you want to extend the mercy that you want to receive. God, take vengeance on my enemies according to your mercy. Ultimately, we want them to know God. But let God deal with that. Look what happens to Daniel. Verse 24. The king gave a command, and they brought these men who accused Daniel and cast them into the den of lions. them, their children, their wives, and the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Now, we know the lions were hungry because they didn't eat Daniel. But they're lowering these guys and their families down, and the lions were standing up against the wall, chewing these dudes up before they even got down to the bottom of the den. God will take care of your enemies. Now, by the way, let me preface it again by saying this. God is not your bully. There are people who come to church here, and I'll just use this church for example, with all kinds of problems. They're rude. They curse. They come out the Bible cursing at our parking people with their Bible in their hand. People walk out of this room and go steal the Bibles from the bookstore. It's the number one stolen item in our bookstore, the Bibles. How do you read a stolen Bible? Bless me, God, bless me. All right, right. You pray, people's hearts have changed. Behind my house is a field, there's a park with three fields, and I run there all the time. I've been running there for 11, 12 years. And the last couple, 3 years, there's a couple, an Asian couple, that I see down there all the time in the morning doing Tai Chi. Together in unison. And they're older. I'm guessing they're in their 70s. But I hope this, y'all Asian people take this as a compliment. Asian people age really good. I mean, they could be like 102 and they look like they're 50. So I don't know how old they were, but they look like, I'm guessing they're in their 70s. My grandmother's half Chinese, so she ages like the bomb. She's fine. So they're like doing this together, and every time I see this couple, I always think about me and my wife growing old together and just being one. My wife and I, we don't do Tai Chi, we do Tea Chai. Some of y'all are going to go home and Google Tea Chai. It ain't there. So I see him down there for probably the last 2 or 3 years, I see him down there all the time. 2 months ago, I saw the woman by herself. It's like, what happened to the guy? She's down there doing it by herself. See her down there again by herself, week after week. The guy died. I don't know this, but I want to know. I got to know. So just Friday, I was walking, and I saw her down there. I said, I'm going to ask her. I've never talked to them. And I go up to her, and I say, how you doing? It's like, 7 o'clock in the morning. How you doing? Your husband, he always is down here doing Tai Chi with you. How is he? Ni hao na, cha 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 cha. So I said, no English. I was like, I'm just saying what I think she said. I'm not trying to make funny. But she was, and I said, no, you know English? No English, no English. I was like, oh, no, you got to tell me, the guy, husband, this. I'm trying to demonstrate what the guy I'm trying to ask. No English. Share, thank you in Chinese. So I was like, God said, you don't need to know. You don't need to know. There are going to be times when something happens in your life and you're saying, God, I need to know. And you said, no, you don't. You need to just trust me. I ended up walking for another half an hour, half of it spent crying, thinking about a bunch of stuff. Just life, loss. I'm moving from that park. The 10 years I've been going to that park, I always have a park to run in all my life. And God's saying, there's a bunch of stuff I'm never going to tell you. You just have to trust me. You have to trust that even though you don't know, I know. And when I was walking, I was listening to a song Stephanie wrote that she's going to sing right now. And I want you to listen to this song because there are going to be times in your life where you're just going to have to trust that God knows.
I don't don't know why the flowers bloom.